We're up to Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the two dots. Lehechon Matzilin Oson, which is right smack in the middle of the Amud. Let's give a little introduction. We have to know that back in the time of the Gemara, they used to build houses around a chotzer, around a courtyard, and the entranceway into each of these houses would open into the chotzer. Now, many of these chatzeros together would spill into a common movi, an alleyway. The movi was not necessarily very large, but it was a common alleyway that would take you out to Rishus HaRab. Now, there are two possible categories of mevos, of movis. In general, most movis were open at one side and closed on the other side. So basically you had three mechitzos, and then you went out into a Rishus HaRab. On a deraisa level, since this alleyway has three mechitzos to it, therefore it is a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry there. The Rabbanan made a gzera, and they required that it be mukaf, so to speak, from all four sides. Otherwise, it might get confused with the Rishus HaRab. There are so many, you know, Bnei HaChatzeros that come into the Mavui. And therefore, they required either a Lechi or a Korah, or whatever they required in order to close off, so to speak, that fourth side. And there's another kind of a Mavui that is much more severe, so to speak, and requires much more of a tikkun in order to allow you to carry in that mavui. And that's called a mavui mefulash, which means it opens on both sides to Rishus HaRab. So the Bnei HaChatzeros enter into this common mavui, and if you go to the right, you'll end up in Rishus HaRab. At the end of the mavui, you go to the left, the same thing. Now, the Chachamim Midrabanan made a siag, and they said that we don't want you to come chas shalom to a situation where you carry something from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRabim, and therefore they created an isur that you're not allowed to take something from a Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid if these two Rishus HaYochids respectively are owned by two different people. So for example, the Chacham said that you're not allowed to be motzi, you can't take something from your bias into a chotzer, since that chotzer is partnered, it's owned by the entire Bnei HaChotzer. Each bias belongs to one individual person. The chotzer, on the other hand, belongs to all of them. So when he takes out from his bias into the chotzer, he's taking from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, all right, assuming the chotzer is surrounded by three mechitzos. But that second Rishus HaYochid, that Chotzer, is Shaykh to all the Bnei HaChotzer in a partnership. And also, the Chachamim went a step ahead, and they said that it's also for the Bnei HaChatzeros to take objects from their respective homes into a Mavui, because the Mavui is common to many different Chatzeros. And each one of those chatzeros is shayach to one individual group of the Bnei HaChotzer, whereas the mavui is shayach to everybody, to all the chatzeros. And again, the reasoning behind the chachamim is that sometimes a chatzer or even a mavui is so similar to Rishus HaRabim, that so many people have access to it, that you might confuse it with Rishus HaRabim. And therefore they prohibited carrying. Now, how do you achieve a heter? For example, how do you achieve a heter to allow the Bnei HaChotzer to carry something out into the Chotzer from their individual batim? So for that, we have something called an Erev Chatzeros, which means the Chacham made a takana. They will collect a pas, a loaf of bread from each bias that makes up this chatzer, in other words, all the different batim that share that one common courtyard, and all these different loaves of bread are left with one of the batim, one of the people who volunteer to accept these pitos, And we now see as if all of Bnei HaChatzar together are living in one bais, and that one bais that has the pas. So that means that it's not like the Chatzar belongs to all the Bnei HaChatzars in one large partnership, but rather like it belongs to that one bais. That makes it more similar to a Rishus HaYochid. So again, that would be Matir taking out from a bais into the Chatzar. That's called Erev Chatzeros. They made another takana, which is called Shituf Muvos, Shitufe Muvos, that all the Bnei HaChatzer of the various Chatzeros should Ki'ilu be one entity as far as the Mavui is concerned. And again, they would go into each Chatzer that spilled or shared that Mavui, and they would collect some food, and they would put that food in one of the various chatzeros, and then it's considered that all the chatzeros really are one chatzer. Now, in the case of a mavui, in addition to shitufei muvos, there was another tikkun that was necessary, and that is to set up a lechi or a korah. And then again, people would not confuse the mavui with the Rishus HaRab. Fine. That's what we have. Now, the Mishnah says, Lehechan Matzilin, O son, Lemovi She'ena Mefulosh. Right? We were saving the Sifrei Torah, the covering over the Sifrei Torah, Tefillin as well, from a Dleika. And where are we bringing it? And the Mishnah answers that we're bringing it into a mavui she'eno mufulash, and Ben Becerra holds that we can take it into a mavui mufulash. Hechidami, what is this case of mufulash? And what's the case, hechidami, of she'eno mufulash? And again, the chachamim of Ben Becerra allow you only hatzola of Kisvei Kodesh only into a Mavui She'enu Mefulash. Okay. Again, Mefulash means literally that it goes from one end of the Mavui to the other end of the Mavui. Usually, you know, Masech Be'erim, we're talking about a Mavui She'enu Mefulash that has three closures on three sides and only enters, spills into Shisaram on one side, the fourth side. But Mavui Mefulash means, as we said before, it opens up both in its top and its bottom, and the head and the tail opens up into Rishus HaRabim. It's open into Rishus HaRabim on both sides. There are only two mechitzos. Now, when it says in our Mishnah that according to Ben Becerra we take out the Sfarim and save them from the Dleika into a Mavui Mefulash, it could be that this terminology that's being used in our Mishnah called Mavui Mefulash, quote unquote, is not the same as Mavui Mefulash in its original use in Masechta Erevin. Because a Mavui Mefulash has only two mechitzos. And if it has only two mechitzos, then it's really a Rishus HaRabim. Again, there are many other conditions that have to be met to make it into Rishus HaRabim, but Mavim Fulash, classic Mavim Fulash, is a Rishus HaRabim. You know, it's just it's an alleyway that leads you from one Rishus HaRabim to the Hemshech of the Rishus HaRabim through that side. And it's difficult to understand how would any Tana possibly be matir taking the Sfarim and carrying them out into a Mavui, right? There's a Dleika and a Rishus HaYochid. You want to carry out the Sfarim into a Mavui Mefulash, which is Dino Rishus HaRabim. And even, by the way, if we would hold that a Mavui Mefulash is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's very similar to Rishus HaRabim. And there's a great chashash that people would confuse it with Rishus HaRabim. So what the Gemara is going to try to do now is try to reinterpret this terminology in a specific context here, which makes it different than its, you know, normal use in its original, back in Masechta Erevin. Omar Rav Chisda, what's this mavui? Shalosh mechitzos ushne lechayayim zeu mavui she'enem afuz. Shalosh mechitzos velechi echad areize mavui mefulosh. So in both cases of mavui mefulosh, mavui she'enem afuz, we're talking about three mechitzos. That's for sure. The question is, with regard to the lechi, is there only one lechi, or are there two? If there's only one lechi, that's called, in the language of our Mishnah here, in Masechta Shabbos, mavui mefulosh. And this reflects the shita that a mavui, in order to be matir, it's not sufficient to have one lechi, but rather you need two lechis. So when you enter into the mavu, you'll see a lechi on the right side and another lechi on the left side. Now, how far apart the lechis are, that depends upon the width of the entry into the mavu. Now, so the perfect mavu, which is has a heta tiltul, is called, in the language of the Mishnah, mavi sheidim mefulish. Mavi sheidim mefulish is a phrase that's identical with a perfect mavui, which has fulfilled all the requirements midrabbanon for a heter tiltul, and that would be sholosh mechitzos ushnei lechayayim. A mavui mefulish, on the other hand, although it does have three complete mechitzos, but it's missing a tikkun because it only has one lechi. And that's what Mavui She'enem Mefulosh is all about. Now, again, just say a word or two about a lechi. A lechi is basically a strip of wood that vertical, it goes up and down, and it's got at least a height of 10 tefachim, and it should be placed on the right, extreme right side of that part of the mavui that enters into Rishus Rav, that spills into Rishus Rav. Travayu aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. The machlokas recorded in our Mishnah between Chachamim and Beseira is a machlokas within the framework of Rabbi Eliezer. Disnan, we have a Mishnah in Erevin, Heksher Mavui. How do you make a tikkun on a mavui? Is Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi Vikora. Beisil Omrim, Olechi Oko, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Shnei Lechayayim. So Beit Shammai clearly requires a double tikkun. It's not enough to set up a lechi, you also have to set up a korah, a beam on top, that goes from one side, one of the wall on the right side, all the way to the wall on the left. And without both a lechi and a korah, you're not allowed to be metaltel in that mavui. Basil say, no, you don't require a double header, either lechi or korah. One or the other will suffice. You have two alternatives. Choose your it's a pick of your choice. And Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, holds you need two lechayayim. Now, some say that Rabbi Eliezer is only making his comment according to Beit Shammai, which might mean that Rabbi Eliezer is offering, in the framework of Beit Shammai, is offering another alternative to the korah. In other words, he doesn't need a korah. What he'll have is a second lechi on the other side of the entrance, and that will replace the korah. But bottom line is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have here a lechi on both sides. On the right side of the mavui, going into the mavui, and on the left side. Now, both Chachamim and Ben Beseira in our Mishnah agree with Rabbi Eliezer that a mavui, in order to be matir, it's not enough to have one lechi. The machlokes between Chachamim and Ben Beseira. One second. What did we just say? Let's go over what we just said one more time, make sure we have it down pat. That both Chachamim and Ben Beseira agree that a mavi needs two lechis. I think that's pretty much what we said before. Oh, so what is now the machlok shin chachamim bebeseira? when we have Hatzolah of a Sefer Torah into a Mavui because of the Dleika, are we going to require that Mavui that has the Heter Lechatchila, or are we going to be a little bit more lenient about it? The Chachamim say, let's be a little bit more lenient, and even though there's nothing else that you're allowed to be metaltel here without two lechayims, and he only has one lechi, nevertheless, for the purpose of Hatzolah Sefer Torah, we're going to allow you to take this Sefer Torah into a Mavui. I switched the sheet. As I said, that was Chachamim, right? The sheet of Ben Becerra is that we can be more lenient for Hatzolah, and even to a so-called Mavui Mefulish, which means it doesn't have two L'chayayims, and therefore it would be also B'tiltul, nevertheless we'll be Matir taking the Sefer Torah to this Mavui Mefulish, so to speak, which only has one Lechi, and it's not a place that's permitted for any other Tiltul, other than this special case of Hatzolah of Sefer Torah. The Chachom, on the other hand, say, wait a minute, in order to achieve a permission to take the Sefer Torah to a Mavi, you have to have a Mavi that has a perfect tikkun to it. It's got to have not one lechi, but two lechayai. And that makes it into a Mavi she'ena mefulash in the language of our Mishnah, and then it's mutter. That's the shita of Rav Chisda. So again, Rav Chisda is assuming that our Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Everybody accepts the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, even though, again, you know, we don't see that many Tanoim accepted Rabbi Eliezer. Certainly Beis Hillel did not accept Rabbi Eliezer. But perhaps, although Rabbi Eliezer is a Das Yochid, Rav Chisda has a purpose, has an agenda to interpret our Mishnah in the light of, or standing on the shoulders of, Rabbi Eliezer instead of Beis Hillel. And what exactly is pressing Rav Chisda, because we always assume Halacha is like Beis Hillel. So comes up, you know, Rav Chisda comes up with this pshat that Mavi Shein Mefulash is a Mavi that only has one Lechi, right? And a Mavi Mefulash is a Mavi, I mean, this is before Rav Chisda, a Mavi that doesn't have a Lechi at all. Comes on Rav Chisda and says, no, that's not logical, because there's no one who would be Matir Hatzolah into a Mavi that has no Tikkun at all in the Ruach Revi. You must have some sort of Tikkun, at least a minor or partial Tikkun. Because again, if you don't have at least a partial Tikkun, at least one Lechi, then it really looks like a Rishus HaRabim. And that's what compels Rav Chisda to interpret our Mishnah, that according to Ben Becerra in our Mishnah, although we need two lechis, at least one lechi is enough to agree or to get to that point where you do not identify this Mavui as a Rishus HaRabim. It's got a lechi. And one lechi itself is meaningful. And the Nafka Mina is as far as Hatzolah of a Sefer Torah. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, we need a perfect Mavui, that's mut betilto, and if we have to have shnei lechayai, that's the approach of Rav Chisda. Amalei Rabba turns to Rav Chisda and he says, your mavui is shalosh mechitzos velechi echad, and you call it mefulash karesle. Again, it's true that according to Rav Eliezer, we certainly need a second lechi to be mati tilto, but he's not telling you that, you know, with one lechi it's called a mavui mefulash, and it's closed on three sides with three mechitzos. And not only that, on the fourth side, it's got one lechi. V'yodin, furthermore, you know, you're telling me that a mavi shein mefulash is a mavi that has shalosh mechitzos plus shtei lechayayim. Is there a bonon? Natzil l'tocha oklin u'mashke. I mean, why do you set up a separate heter here, a leniency, with regard to Kisvei HaKodesh? Forget about Kisvei HaKodesh. You know, you have food that's going to go up in smoke. So save it into a Mavli. I mean, this Mavli has a perfect tikkun to it. It's got Sholosh Mechitzos V'Shtei L'Chayayim. Elam, Rabba offers an alternative interpretation of our Mishnah, the Machlokas Trin Ben Besera and Chachamim. What's the Mavui? We're talking about Shtei Mechitzos. There's a Mavui that only has two Mechitzos on two sides, Ushnei L'chayayim, and on each open end he puts a lechi here and a lechi there. That's called a Mavui She'ena Mefulash. So that's the Tikkun Mavui. Again, you may ask, this is a Pella, because if it only has two Mechitzos, then you're talking about a Rishus HaRabim. You can't convert it and transform it to Rishus HaYochid by with two Mechitzos, but we'll see in just a moment about that. So if we assume that two Mechitzos are enough to set up a Rishus HaYochid, and now we have to close it off on each side with a Lechi, and that's a rabbinic requirement, because Midrash it is Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry it. Is once he sets up the two lechis, that's called a mavui sheinu mefulash. Then according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, he's allowed to take the Sefer Torah and be matzalid into this mavui sheinu mefulash. Again, you'll always have the old question about why not bring ochlin umashkin there if you have a perfect tikkun. But now we have another case. We have a shtei mechitzos rak lechi echid. He only put up one lechi on one side. That's called a mavui mefulash, because he didn't fulfill the tikkun of this mavui, which is to put up two lechayim on two different ends. The Chavai Olibid Rabbi Yehuda. The machlokas now in our Mishnah between Chacham and Bevesera is Olibid Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that two mechitzos set up a Rishus HaYochid Oraisa, the sign we learned in the Braisa. Yes, sir, Al Kain. Okay, we'll see that the discussion before that was about Tiltul, Bito, you know, Mitachas L'Gesher. Fine, and now he says, yes, okay. In other words, we spoke about a case of two mechitzos, and now we're building on that. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishi yesh lo shnei batim mishnei tzidei rishus ram. Imagine this, you have a rishus ram going through with a bias on the one side and another bias on the other side. They're perfectly parallel one to the other. Is Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to be metaltel on Shabbos from one house to the other, going through Rishus HaRabim in the middle, Osa Lechi Mikan, V'Lechi Mikan. So you take one of the two batim, and let's draw an imaginary line from the end of one bias to the end that parallels on the bias across the road, with a Rishus HaRabim road in the middle. And then there's another, shall we say, on the left side, you know, there's the corner of the house which parallels the corner of the other house across the way. Like mirror images one or the other. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to make two lechis on one side. Let's say one bias. Doesn't matter which bias it is. You put a lechi on the corner of one bias, on one corner of the bias, in front of that corner. You put another lechi on the other corner of that same bias. Or alternatively, you can set up a korah mikan and a korah mikan. In other words, two koros. So you're going to have a korah from the edge of one house to the parallel edge on the other house across the Rishus HaRabim, and in addition, you're going to need another korah extending from the other corner, the other end of the house, to over the Rishus HaRabim, to the corner of the other house that's on the other side of the Rishus HaRabim. And then v'nosem b'emtza. Now you have no problem, and you're allowed to be metaltel from one house to the other. Oh. So now we're up to the machlokes between Chachamim and Ben Besera. Right? Both Chachamim and Ben Besera would hold that in this case we accept Rabbi Yehuda that two mechitzos set up Rishus HaYochid d'oraisa. So on a Doraisa level, there'd be no problem of tiltul within this area between one bias and the other going across Rishus HaRabim. But in Rabbanah, we require two lechis, or alternatively, two koros. But if he has only one lechi, so that's going to be a mavi she'ein, that's going to be considered mavi mefulash. It's insufficient. And it's a perfect mavi, which in our language is called a mavi she'eino mefulash, would be after he sets up the two lechis. The Chacham require that perfect tikkun of a mavi in order to allow you to bring the Sefer Torah out from the Rishus HaYochid into the mavi, and the perfect tikkun means he's got to have a lechi on one side of the house and a lechi on the other side of the house. comes along Ben Beseir and he says, no. In this case, for the sake of Hatzolah Sefer Torah, we can lower our standards and we can be more lenient and accept one lechi, even though there are no two lechis. Amru lo, the Chachamim, going back to the original Machlokes between Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, they're going to reject this idea of two mechitzos, setting up Rishus HaYochid. Ein ma'arvin Rishus HaRavim makach. You can't be matir tilton or sarabim with two lechis or two koros. And the reason for that is you need a third full mechitza. You have to have three solid, complete mechitzos in order to generate a status of rishus hayochid and allow tiltil. So with all due respect to a lechi here and a lechi there, that's not a mechitza gemura. You really have to convert this rishus harabim into rishus hayochid, and for that we need a full-fledged mechitza, which we don't have. We only have l'chayayim. Both, as we said before, Chachamim and Mishnah and Ben Beseira accept Rabbi Yehuda. And a mavui that has two mechitzos, right? It's mukaf on two sides out of four, two out of some four. You're allowed to be metaltal inside this mavui if you have two l'chayayims. Come along the Chachom, and they say, you want to be matzil a Sefer Torah? Oh, no. We're not going to allow a tiltil a mavui, which is got only two mechitzos, unless you put up two l'chayayim. Anything less than two l'chayayim will not cut the mustard. Now we get to Ben Beseira. Ben Beseira says, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda requires two lechis, but we could be mekil for the sake of Hotzah Sefer Torah, and if one lechi is there, call it a mavui shein, a mavui mafulash, and we're going to allow it. Amar le Abaye, lididi nami, lididach nami. Wait a second. You yourself rejected rejected Rav Chisda, because if this be the case, if it's a perfect tikkun, how can the Chachamim say that you're only allowed to be matzil a Sefer Torah into this mavui? They should have gone a step further and be matir ochlin umashkin. Is there a bono natzil etocho ochlin umashkin? Right, you're saving a Sefer Torah into a mavui that has the perfect tikkun of two l'chayayim, based on Rabbi Yehuda. That be the case, why not save even ochlin umashkin? You know, in effect, what you have is a chutzah with an erev to it. So why can't you bring Oakland and Mashkin there? And here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Elo Amar Av Ashi, Sholosh Mechitzos V'lechi Echad. If he has three full mechitzos and one lechi, so that's a mavui, shein mafulosh. That's where the Chachom require a lechi. And the Hatzolah Sefer Torah will go into this mavui that's not mafulish, it has three mechitzas with one lechi. For shalosh mechitzas below lechi, if you didn't do a tikkun mavui, that's what we call it at Mishnah, mavui amafulash. Because on the fourth side, it's completely open. There's no mechitza whatsoever on the fourth side. And now the Chachom say that afilu l'Rabbi Lezer, diomar be'inon l'chayayim, even Rabbi Lezer who says that you need l'chayayim, hanimili, that's only li'ochlin u'mashkin, avol l'sefer Torah, b'chad lechi sagi. So now let's study the shita who do we want to start with? The Chachom of Ben Beseir. Rav Ashi is taking us back to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer as we started the sugya. Rabbi Eliezer requires for tikkun mavui, even if it has three mechitzos, two lechayayims, one is not sufficient. And now we're going to lower the standards for the sake of Hatzolah Sefer Torah. And here's going to be the machlokas chachamim and Ben Beseira. To what extent, how far can we go and allow Rabbi Eliezer's kula? Allow even according to Rabbi Eliezer's chumra of shtei l'chayayim, a kula of less than shtei l'chayayim for the sake of Hatzol Sefer Torah. The Chachamim say that we can only lower our guard one notch, and instead of requiring two lechis, one lechi will suffice. So again, as far as ochel and mashkin, one lechi would not be enough. We're holding like Rabbi Eliezer, you need two lechayim. But for the sake of a sefer Torah, we're going to lower our guards and we're going to rely on one lechi. Comes along Ben Becerra, and he goes a step further. He says that even Rabbi Eliezer, who requires two lechayim, in a case of a danger to a sefer Torah, we have to lower our guards, and three mechitzos are enough even without any lechayim, which is called a mavui mefulosh. A mavui she'ena mefulosh means it's got what the chacham of Rabbi Eliezer would require to be metakin a mavui, and that's one lechi. But since we're going like Rabbi Eliezer, we need two lechis. One lechi will be enough in this specific case as a hetefor hatzolas sefer Torah min hadleik. But Ben Becerra went a step further, and he says, you know what? How far can we push the envelope on Rabbi Eliezer? How far can we make him for the sake of saving a sefer Torah? And the answer is we can go as far as doing away with any tikkun whatsoever on this mavui. Just three mechitzos, that's what we have. And that's a Rishus HaYochid Gemurah D'Oraisa. We're going to just completely alleviate and waive the requirement of the Rabbanon of Heker, and even without any Heker, without any Lechi, it's going to be mutter to save Sifrei Kodesh. Okay, that's what we have. So again, just to summarize, according to Ravashi, our Tanoim and our Mishnah are built on Rabbi Eliezer. They're arguing within Rabbi Eliezer, and a Mavi needs two Lechayayim. And even though, again, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, we paskin like Beis Hillel, and one Lechi is enough, and that's how anybody who learns Erevin, you ask him how much of a Tikkun do we need on a Mavi, he'll tell you one Lechi. And it comes out, therefore, that there's no Kula here for Hatzolas Sefer Torah, according to the Chachamim specifically, right? Because we pass like the Chachamim, and we're going to allow you to be Matzolas Sefer Torah into a Mavui that has one Lechi, which according to our Halacha is exactly what it takes to be Matir a Mavui, one single Lechi. Which, of course, would mean that there's no difference here between a Sefer Torah and an Ochel and Umashkin. But the answer is that, according to Ravashi's Pshat, we're not accepting Beis Hillel. We're building ourselves on Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer requires not just three mechitzos, and not just one lechi, but two lechis. And the question is, can we lower our guard, and to what extent can we lower our guard for the sake of saving a Sefer Torah min hadleika? Can we lower our guard and allow for one lechi and let that suffice instead of requiring two lechayim? Can we go even a step further? There's zero lechis, and yet we're going to be mat. Because again, we have three chatzir, three mechitzas, and therefore midaraisa to Rishus HaYoch. The Mishnah goes on to tell us that there are various kulos that the Rabbanu would make here as far as hatzola min hadleika. But there are also certain limitations. Matzilin mazon shalosh seudos. The maximum amount of food that we will allow you to carry from your house to save it min hadleik into a mavui is only mazon shalosh seudos. We want, so to speak, don't take me literal on this, but we want to get you through the Shabbos. So we'll be mekil to get you through the Shabbos with shalosh seudos. That's the requirement that the Torah requires to eat three seudos on Shabbos. Next, the ochel itself, up to three seudos, is royally adam. It's going to be consumption for human beings. And not only that, it's got to be li adam mi bnei abayis. What does that mean? That this food that's fit for human consumption is fit for any one of the members of the household. Okay? Now, what happens in event that the food that you want to be matzil is not fit for human consumption, but it is fit for animal consumption. And the Mishnah goes on and says, Roy lebehema lebehema. So whatever is edible for an animal, you're allowed to save it min adleika in order to feed the animal. Okay then, so what we have here in our Mishnah is a question: how much do you need for a day in terms of food to get through the day? Well, if you're an Adam, you're a human being, you need Mazon Shalosh Sudos. If you're an animal, then what does the animal need in order to get through that day? So the Mishnah doesn't say Shalosh Sudos, but whatever royal, whatever the animal would normally be eating on that day. And the Mishnah goes on and says the following: B'shachris, in other words, he hasn't yet eaten his sudas shachris, is then matzilin mazon shtei sudos. He already ate his Friday night meal, so he doesn't have to save anything from the dleika for that meal. B'mincha, if you've already eaten two sudos, is then we're going to allow you atzol of mazon suda achas, because all you have left in Shabbos is one suda. And Rav Yossi Omer, li olam atzilim mazon shalosh sudos. Rav Yossi holds there's a definite, absolute shear of how much food you're allowed to save in adleika, and we're going to set that up based on the fact that he hasn't eaten yet, and he needs three sudos over the course of Shabbos. Befall, he's already eaten his sudos, but that's irrelevant, because we want to set up an objective, absolute definition. So let's go back to the middle of the Mishnah. Ketzad, what does it mean that we save mazon shalosh seudos? And this, according to the Tanakhama of Rav Yossi, is nafla dleika b'leil Shabbos if the dleika burst out before the achila of Leil Shabbos, matzilin mazon shalosh sudos, because you still have three sudos to fulfill your obligation for the Shabbos to look forward to. But b'shachris, if before the sudas shachris, interesting, Rashi uses the word achila with regard to Leil Shabbos, it's before the achila when he gets to shachris, before the suda, is matzilin mazon shtei sudos, and then b'mincha before the third suda, matzilin mazon suda achas. So the Bach tries to understand this slight discrepancy in Rashi between kodem achila and kodem suuda. He says that with regard to suda salayla, you're allowed to eat through the entire night, but once the time for Sudas Laila passes, then of course we finish with Sudas Laila. So you're allowed to be Matzil Mazen of Shalosh Sudas as long as he didn't eat yet. So that's called Kodem Achila. When he gets to Sudas Ayom, which is only eaten Shachris before Chatzos Ayom, and if he didn't eat his suda till afternoon, that's not a kiyum of the mitzvah of suda shachris. Shachris has to be eaten in the morning. So therefore, he can only be matzil mazon shtei sudos if the time in which he would normally eat that first suda has not yet passed. Okay, let's start the Gemara. The Gemara says that we have a problem with the Mishnah when the Mishnah says you're only allowed to carry out mazon for three sudos. Michti v'etera katarach. In other words, he's being matzel mamim min adleika, mazon min adleika. And that's a dvar heta. He's working for something that's mutter. Because there's no isa mukta, for example, in the case of ochlin. He's saving it into a chatzah that has an air of chatzeros. as we'll soon see. So not till Tvei. I mean, what's the Iser here? What's the issue if he would be matzil more than three sudos? Now you might say, well, he's only going to eat three sudos during Shabbos, so he's really working for Chol. Well, there's a sugya in Beitza that the principle that underlies that sugya is that we could be matir Torah, b'makom hefsei merubah. So he's losing a lot of food, that's hefsed, and now we should be matir. Why are you limiting it to three sudos? Amar Rava, mitosha adam bol al mamono. A person is so in such tension over the loss of his mamon, therefore yisharisle, if we allow him to take more and more and more, asi lechabuye. You know, as he gets more involved in Atzola, and time passes, he might actually get to the point where he forgets it's Shabbos, and therefore he'll be Mechaber the Dleika. So the Rabbanan limited the amount of time, or shall we say the amount of Muslim that he's allowed to take out, and therefore he's only involved in X amount of minutes of saving this out. He's not going to forget it's Shabbos, and he won't come to Kibui on Shabbos. And hopefully after he takes out the Muslim three suddas, he's no longer Bahul. You know, this is what we allowed him, and that'll quiet him down, and he's not going to come to Kivui. Omalei Abai says to Rava Ella, if that's the reason for this Gzera, how are you going to explain a Bryce? Hadasanya. Nishbar lo chavis berosh gago, a person whose barrel of wine broke on the top of his roof. The wine is now spilling out, it's going li'ibu, it's going to be totally lost. Is maybe kli umeniach tachteo. He's allowed to bring a utensil, a receptacle, and place it underneath the chavis in order to receive the yayin, so it doesn't get destroyed. He's not allowed to bring another kli to be kolit mina avir, the yayin that is dripping down from the roof. In other words, one kli is enough. Fill up one kli, but not beyond that to bring a second kli. So that when he fills up the first kli, he can, lechora, pour it in to another kli, and everything is munach b'chatzer, and now he can again absorb more and more of the wine, until the second kli is filled up. And once again, he'll bring kli acher v'yitzarif. So in other words, what we see is that we're not applying the principle of Adam Bol Amamono, right? We're allowing to be matzil the volume of wine that goes into one kli, as that's the lashon of the braisa when it says mevi kli o meniach tachtel b'vad shelo yovi kli acher. So we're talking about one kli. When the braisa says kli acher v'yitzarif, we have to add a few words to make sure we're clear about this. Lo yovi od kli acher. Add those words. He's not allowed to bring another kli, and v'yitzarif. The yitzarif, I guess, means to take that kli and sort of attach it or put it side by side to the gag, so that as the yayin actually flows from the gag, it goes into this kli. So basically, the bottom line is that according to this brisa, you're not allowed to bring more than one kli, neither to be collate the yayin, in other words, to put it right underneath the barrel of wine, or litzarif, or to somehow attach it close to the gag, in order to save the wine. So that it would seem that the limitations here is, number one, it's got to be one kli, number two, only up to shalosh seudos. So it could be that within shalosh seudos is going to be an issue. Maybe we would allow him to bring a second kli, but in any event, the heter here is to be kolate and mitzarif more than one kli. That for sure is indicated. And the Gemara says, Hasam my gzera ika. Why are we limiting in his food? You're saying we limited his food in the case of Dleika because of Adam Bala Mamono. And he might come to be Mechaba the Ner. What exactly are we afraid of here? In other words, here his tircha is bedover heter. He's not dealing with fire, which might lead him to extinguish the fire. So why can't he bring many kelim, and why can't we maximize the amount of yayin that goes into his kelim? And that's a kash on Rava. So Rava answers Hasam Nami. There too, they generated an iser of tircha bedover heter gzera shema. Yavi kli derech rishus harabim, as he's so bohul to save his wine, he needs kelim for that. So if we allow him to have unlimited volume of yayin that he can save in an unlimited amount of kelim, he's going to run out of kelim, and then he runs to bring another keli, and this keli will have to be brought through a rishus harabim. And again, we're talking about a chavis that was nishbara, it was broken, and you can't bring many kelim to save the wine that's in the barrel. What would be in a case where the barrel didn't break, it was only cracked, the yayin is dripping out through that crack, then perhaps we would allow him to bring many, many kelim to be kolayta mitzaref. Why? Because he's not bol kolkach. He's not in a tremendous rush that, you know, he's going to forget himself, forget the Shabbos, start bringing a keli there, sarabim. The speed or volume at which the yayin is going out of this crack chavis is limited. But when it's a bol situation, you know, the chavis is nishbro, within seconds, all his wine is going to be lost. If he doesn't have enough of a kli to save his wine, and we give him unlimited access to save as much as he can, he's going to forget about Shabbos, and he's going to bring a kli through Rosh Hashanah. Kufa, let's go back to the Bryce in Ishbar Lo Chavis Rosh Hashanah. Maybe kli Amaniach Tachtel Bavad Shli Avi Kli Achav Yilkot Viyaklot Kli Achav Yitzarev. The Bryce continues, says Nistami Lo Orchim. However, we have a heter in the case where he needs more yayin because he has to feed his guests, is maybe kliacher v'kolit, kliacher mitzarev. But v'lo yiklot v'achkach yazmin. He can't play games with us, subterfuge, and say, well, you know what, I'm going to invite guests. In the meantime, I'm going to collect all my yayin and as many kelim as I want. He doesn't need the yayin for orchim. He's going to invent a need. He's going to, call up, well, he can't call it Shabbos, but he's going to invite all the Yorchim. Ella, Yasmin, first, let's see if you can get guests who want to come. And then, Achak Yichlot, then you can bring other Kalim to be Kolet the Yayin. Fein Ma'rivim Mekach. There's no Harama here. You know, don't try to fool us and, you know, tell me, well, you're inviting guests. I mean, these guests have no interest in drinking your wine. But Mishum Rab Yossi, Rab Yud Amru Ma'arimin. You know, you could invite guests, even though they don't have to drink wine. And that's going to be enough for Arama to allow you to be Matzel, say Yayin Bechavis, even if you're taking many, many Kalim to do so. So the Gemara now wants to analyze this Machlokes between Rab Yossi, Rab Yehuda, and the Tanakama. Lema, should we say, Beplukta de Rab Eliezer, Rab Yoshua, Kom Miflugi. That this machlokes shin the Tanakama of Yossi is identical with a machlokes shin Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about Harama. The Sanya, we learned in a braisa, oso vs bino. So you have an animal and its son. Let's say a female animal and its son. Let's give that case. And you're not allowed, according to Torah law, shecht them both on one day. This is derived in Vayikra Chaf Beis, from the pasuk Bisharo se oso v'es binolo sishkatu biyom echad sugin chulin adaf ayin ches. And there we have machlokes tanoim whether or not this Easter is noeg dafka in em bino or even in avu bino. Okay, fine. And there's no difference between whether he shechted the mother animal first or he shechted the son first. In any case, he can't shecht them both on one day. And now, naflu lebar. So he's got a baim and its child, which you're not allowed to shecht on one day, and it fell. They fell into a bar. And after he brings one of them up from the bar, now if he'd be metaltel the second animal, whether it's the mother or the son is irrelevant, that would be what's called tiltu shalolit tzorech, because he can't shecht the second animal. So we're talking on yontav, obviously. And in this case, he has no permissibility to shecht the second animal. And therefore, he's going to have to let the second animal die in the bar. He has no heter for the tiltul of taking the animal out of the bar because of the Isur Shechita. So the question now is there a way of doing a harama? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Malas Arishon Amanas L'Shochto, he'll ki'ilu decide that the first one he's going to shech. Vasheni Osalo Parnosa Bimkomo Bishvil Shalo Yomus. So again, he doesn't have the right or the permission to haul up the second animal from the bar, because that would be Tiltul Shalo L'Tzorech. But he's allowed to put Mizonos inside the bar so that the animal at least will survive. But to take him out of the bar, hold him up, that's Tiltul Shalo L'Tzorech, it's also L'Shechta. But Rabbi Yeshua comes up with the Harama. And he says, Mailim es arishon amanas l'shochto, but v'eino shochto. Umarim v'omer, maybe the second one in the bar is a better animal, it's fatter than the first one. And now it becomes possible that he'll shech the second animal. Of course, he never actually went through the shechita of the first animal. His intention, so to speak, to shech the first animal, intention in quotation marks, was enough to be matir, taking the animal out of the bar. But now he decides, well, you know what? Let's forget about the first animal. Let's shech the second animal. Maybe it's fatter and, you know, and more zaftig than the first animal. So milas hasheni, and then at the end he has two animals, rotzezeh shochet, rotzezeh shochet, and that's going to be harama. So we have a fundamental machlokas here. Between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about the permissibility of doing harama, we call it in English subterfuge, to play this kind of a game. And the Gemara thinks that should shed a light on the machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, about harama in the case of Atzola. You know, is he allowed to just make our rum? Well, more guests are coming, blah, 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 and therefore we need more food. Well, there aren't guests, and if there are guests, they're not going to eat your, you know, they have no intention of drinking your wine. So you want to be matzil the yayin that's coming out of the barrel and say, well, barama. Is that makes a lot of sense, according to Rabbi Yoshua, who allows harama in the case of the tircha of getting the animals out of the bar. And that could actually be aligned or identified with the shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudu, says Marimin in the case of Orchid, to save more wine from the bar, from the barrel that broke. So Gemara says, no, there's no way that you could convince me in an absolute form, certainly, that there is a tlut, an interdependence of these machlokas, and why me my. Perhaps Dilma Adkan Lokoma Rabbi Eliezer Hossam. Why does Rabbi Eliezer refuse to accept harama in the case of two animals down in the bar, diafshe v'parnasa? Because what, you know, why should you introduce harama when there's an easy way of achieving your goal without harama? Just simply, we never prohibited you from putting mizonos inside the bar in order to keep the animal alive. And then after yontav is over, you'll haul the animal out of the bar. What's the big deal? What have you lost? But here in the case where the barrel is lost, maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would agree we can apply haram at lo efshar. There's no way possible, you know, to save the yayin needs to be saved urgently this moment. if you don't bring more kelim, then whatever goes beyond the first kelim is lost. And to prevent that hefsed, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would allow harama. And let's go beyond that. V'adkan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua hasam. When does Rabbi Yeshua, in the case of two animals in a bar, allow you to do this harama? Mishum deikat tsar balichai, because to leave the animal at the bottom of the bar, even though you're feeding it, the animal is in really bad shape, you know, really in anguish. I mean, it's literally in a 2x2 jail cell, no air to breathe. But here in the case of the chavis, there's no issue about tsar balichai. Lo, Rabbi Yeshua would also agree that there's no harama. So what we're up to now is Tana Rabbanan. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. On Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, we're about, I would say, shall we say, about two-thirds down the Amud, and parallel to the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Shehi Chachma.